You're listening to the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association networks across Canada and British Columbia. This is the Community Living Show, also simulcast on CITR 101.9 FM. Of course, that's our theme for You Got a Friend of Me, arranged by Johnny May. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA networks and on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, our full hour show. I am, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
And you brought some guests along.
Yes, I did. I brought Jack Dardeen and Henry
Urion.
I always pronounce your name wrong. So they're with an organization called Sparks. And Sparks is an organization, they specialize in digital storytelling, especially using video. And I wanted them to come in today to talk about the importance of digital storytelling and fundraising and how it actually can help people with disabilities by just getting a story told about something that could have happened to them. So, go ahead, guys. So tell us a little bit more about Sparks.
Sparks is our attempt to create organic activist growth, trying to be as current and finding out where the most effective levers are for making actual change. So in that mind, one of the things that we do is make sure we're fairly closely attached to the Metro Vancouver Alliance. The Metro Vancouver Alliance is, you know, part of the oldest activist organizations going. It started in 1933 using Saul Alinsky's work. So they're attached to 60 or 70 cities around the world. And in Vancouver, there's 250,000 members. So why is that important? Well, we do a lot of video for them. We tweet and we get on the Facebook. We make sure that our activities in that organization and that organization itself are noticeable. So we help them and we help ourselves by doing that. So that's one of the natures of modern media, that if you are a messenger and you're authentic, then you're effective for the people you represent and you're effective for your own organization. So that's, to me, a real example of the way Sparks sees itself in the world, helping other organizations lever their capacity and get it out into the world. So we've done maybe a dozen videos for them. What are the outcome of that? Well, the MVA won the living wage. That was them. Right. So fantastic, right? All of a sudden, people who are attached to the city of Vancouver are going to be making $22.23 an hour if you have any contract at all, right, with the city. So that's effective digital storytelling.
Yeah.
And just to broaden that a little bit more, SPARKS is, in fact, an acronym which stands for Smart Progressive Alliance for Responsible Extraordinary Change. That was sort of the concept behind the organization that Jack and I founded last year. And it goes much beyond, of course, the MBA. We've done some additional work in terms of fundamentally working with organizations to promote their cause, to ensure that they have a video productions and footage that they can use in a variety of ways, whether it be for promotional purposes and making people aware of their cause and what they're working towards, as well as for training purposes. As an example, with another organization, NetSquared, last year we did a complete recording of a conference that they held. Actually, it was last spring. And we did a promotional video as a result of the footage obtained at that particular event, and they were just absolutely elated by the by the way it worked out and the way they can use it to, in fact, influence more people to attend their events. And in that regard, we're, you know, fundamentally offering a service to organizations that includes recording of events, recording of training materials and so forth, as well as putting together promotional videos that help them inform people about what they're all about and convince people to participate and, in fact, support their efforts in whatever goal they have established for themselves.
So a lot of what I heard there is that basically you guys are two activists with a camera, and you're turning the camera onto the cause. So what are some of the causes that you guys actually have highlighted with your cameras?
We were on Burnaby Mountain during the
Kinder Morgan
thing. We shot lots of transit video, and while the project itself, we didn't win. In fact, we went down in flames. People notice when you're out there and that you're doing things. Win or lose, you're in the fight. So there's that. We did Peace Geeks, which is this great little organization that geekish type people around the world have sorted out an organization where their capacities, technology, is used to raise money for international causes relating to like clean water and medicine. We did NetSquared. The MVA for us is a really important relationship because they have 20 unions, 20 faith groups, and 20 community organizations who are in advocacy. So we reach out and do video for groups within there. We are currently supporting the Stop End Bridge and Stop the Kinder Morgan Pipeline, which is every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Terminal and Main. And right now there are many dozens of people showing up, but we want many hundreds of people showing up, because if you're going to stop that pipeline, you better start organizing, get the boots on the ground. So we're shooting video for that. We're going to be there. We're going to be strongly represented. And just like, this is an example of digital storytelling, right? It's current, it's authentic, and you just put the pitch out there. So one of the things we're currently doing.
Well, the thing is, if you don't get the word spread around, there can't be any help.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And authentic and current is really important.
Yeah.
So we're working very hard on having a zero turnaround time. We found technology where we can get live onto Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah.
The whole concept is, of course, as you can already tell, we enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to form alliances or actually, you know, help promote organizations and their efforts and whatever goals they have established for themselves by, in fact, talking about it. Here we are, you know, promoting, in a sense, the excellent efforts of the MBA or NetSquared and other organizations. We're strong believers in a couple of key areas, certainly anything relating to climate change, environmental issues. It's an important area that we like to be able to do work in. We'd be open to talking with any organization that is involved in those kinds of issues to help them produce some worthwhile and effective video productions for promoting that issue. Obviously, Kinder Morgan Pipeline is a major issue associated with that whole concept. We also are involved with certainly promotional videos for relating to anything relating to the democracy. We're a strong believer in of course, having people get out for the vote. And, of course, we certainly with the federal election coming up here, have to put a strong word of encouragement for everyone to participate in that last night. In fact, we were filming some activities by the federal politicians and candidates, recording events at an NBA event that really put people, these people on the spot in terms of demanding that they identify where they stand on very specific issues. So that's the kind of activity that we get very much involved in.
Right. From what I understand out of the NBA, during elections, they turn the tables on the politicians instead of the politicians telling us what they're going to do for us. The NBA turns it into, this is what we want you to do as a politician for us.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Which is totally awesome way to get at politics.
Well, there are two components of that. One is, of course, coming up based on a lot of very thorough research that's done to identify key issues, whether it be, you know, livable wage or whether it's other issues like low-income housing and others. They do the research, come up with formulating a very concrete, specific question for the politicians and asking them to respond. And the second component of that is, being in a situation where they can ensure that there's accountability because they have the recording of what was actually said at this particular point in time and monitor where these politicians, when in fact they get elected, what they actually do in following through on their commitment to deliver on their promises.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually on your website right now. Is there – there was one that I found that I thought was really cool. Do you mind if we play a clip?
No, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do the Kelly?
All right. We'll be back.
Do you have a concern about the pipelines? Are you pro? Are you against?
Well, it's not in my backyard, so I like it.
Do you vote?
Yes.
Excellent.
I do, yes.
At the current moment, no.
Do you vote?
I have voted in the past.
Why do you think young people don't vote these days?
I think a lot of it has to do with people don't really know who to vote for.
How can we get young people to vote?
How can we get young people to vote? By educating them,
mm-hmm.
foremost, number one. By maybe getting them like active in it, like in a fun way and an intriguing way that they'll want to learn more about it. And just making them realize how important it is for their votes and how, like you said, even one vote counts.
Right, right.
Our government just hasn't invested that time into the youth. So there's just, the youth just don't really care. Like, at one point they do, but at the same time they don't, because it's like, why should I invest in something that nobody really cares about?
Actually, the city of Vancouver recently did an urban Aboriginal people study, and they found out that Aboriginal people vote actually a little higher than the non-Aboriginal people when it comes to the young people. But still, we got a lot of work to do.
I think that for young people to start voting, we have to get our youth involved with whatever politics are going on.
RJ, what's it going to take to get youth to vote?
It's going to take a concerted effort by, I would say, everybody who's politically active.
Even if you think that you don't have a voice or that it's not going to matter who you vote for, it truly does in the end.
All right, I guess that's it.
Yeah, so that was your video, Youth Vote, trying to inspire the younger voters to come out, right?
Well, it's more than that. It's for us, that was the very first digital product we ever had. And so I think it's really you know, lessons learned. I came to Vancouver 3 years ago. I didn't know anybody. And I was pretty determined. I think Vancouver's an epicenter for social change, for climate change. Lots mm-hmm. of stuff is going to happen here. So I'm fairly sure that if I help to create impactful change here, that it'll resonate through Canada and potentially the world. So what a great place to be. But I didn't know anybody. I have a belief that if you have access to technology, that you should just start using it. If you believe in change, you need to tell stories. Change making is always about saying what is happening and what you want to happen. And so we did the youth vote. A friend of mine said, Jack, you got to do something. And put $1,000 on the table. And I was able to hire a young, socially aware video guy who's got his thumbs in this community group and that community group. So we needed to get a handle on the process of capturing a story, finding people that'll say something, mm-hmm. do something, and then figure out what it means to take that content and get it up so that you think what just happened here. So we, a year ago, we shot a youth vote video, believing that if you want people to vote, you better get a head start on it.
Right.
We shoot that video, and a year and a bit later, we're on a radio show demonstrating a video. Mm-hmm.
Before a
video.
Federal election.
Exactly. Right. So we have timely current product that was shot a year ago. We got it out then, but we – sorry, mate.
Sorry, I'm just letting them know about the time and everything.
Right. So we are starting to have a catalog of stories that are relevant in a number of places. So we've put in a massive investment in terms of time and energy and talent and equipment, all drawn off people's goodwill, essentially. But – now, we have a catalog. We have product that is meaningful that can be brought out
right.
for every occasion. Mm-hmm. So digital storytelling for me is being able to give people relevant stuff in a timely fashion. And because of the times that we live in right now, mm-hmm. it's a call to action as well. So I think if you're just describing things to people, people get that all the time now. What people want to hear is, what am I going to do next? What do you want me to – here's the information. I get that. Now what do you want me to do with it? Okay. So the leadership is also telling people or asking people to do something.
Okay. And we need to go to a break. Kelly's giving me a signal.
Yep. This is Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're talking to people from Sparks, and we'll be back in a moment.
That money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
And we're back on the Community Living Show with me, Kelly, Michael, on the NCRA Radio Networks and our full-hour show, flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. So you mentioned you did some video on some transit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us about that kind of stuff. What happened and why did it fail? I'm really interested in stuff because I like involvement with transit and stuff on my part of the thing. So,
well, you know, when you look at Volkswagen,
yes,
basically putting 40 times the amount of pollutants into the air, and basically making a corporate decision to lie, cheat, and steal to make money. Strangely enough, the most reputable auto company in the world is a major liar and cheater.
Major German network for Volkswagen.
Right.
So.
And so these organizations have got their advocates, just the same way that there are advocates for progressive, for climate change. There are also advocates for having large vehicles that spew toxins into the air.
Mm.
So when you have the Kinder Morgan shills, who are putting out job, or the liquid natural gas, they're part of the same messaging crew as Volkswagen. So when you start asking for money to have public transit, you were well demonstrated by that fellow out on the Fraser Valley that masterfully co-opted the conversation. The guy's a great shill for corporate entities, and he won flat out.
I bet.
He understood what an authentic personal message, he was also aided by, Vancouver Sun and its other flagship product, The Province, various radio and
other types of media
that are established, and they have control of the media flow. And he's connected to that.
Okay.
So why did we lose?
Well, there's some other factors, obviously, just in terms of, people being concerned about the fact that their perception, again, their perception is that, TransLink already receives huge amounts of money. They're just not managing it well.
Right.
That was a very major issue involved with, I think, motivating people to vote against that referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But we put together, some entertaining little spoof about, shall we say, those people who just, don't even need, public transit, and talking about it. Well, that's for those people. and there's no real need to expand it and so forth. So there, and it was also, I think, a question of the way in which, organizations that were trying to promote, of course, encouraging people to vote in favor of the transit referendum, just weren't able to coordinate their efforts in an effective, political fashion to get, get the votes out and to encourage people to sort of motivate them in that direction.
Interesting.
I think one of the other dynamics is, one of my learning is, the progressive movement sings to a vacuum or sings to the choir. It's a big echo chamber. And definitely going forward, one of the things that we're going to be trying to do is to create messages that speak to people outside the bubble. I think the progressive voice is always quite smug. They think that they're quite right, and I tend to agree with that. But that attitude is poison for people who are just common sense, getting through life. And so we want to make messages that are change-making to people who haven't got the message yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that leads me to a question about because people don't think about this, especially when they think of causes and charitable fundraising, things like that. There is a marketing aspect to that. Mm-hmm. So what does the market research for video and digital storytelling tell you about how this helps promote a cause and how this helps push a cause forward?
Well, it's the recent research has certainly indicated that, as an example, online video traffic will soon account for more than 50% of all consumer internet traffic. And this just reflects the tendency now that people will sort of shy away from reading things as opposed to seeing things presented to them in a video. Video is becoming more and more of an important component of any marketing strategy.
Right.
You know, whether you're selling a product or a service, and that certainly applies, I think, in something that showy people that are involved with environmental issues or political issues recognize as being critically important. You know, 2 billion videos on YouTube per week are being monetized right now. So mm-hmm. there's tremendous upside potential for creating funding, you know, for your cause and for your issue and your organization by turning to video and creating, you know, video that's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a saying in marketing and so forth, in sales, that, you know, facts tell, but stories sell.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, as an example, at the MBA session, they deliberately had people stand up and talk about their experience with the transit system and how they had to, you know, a student waiting at midnight in the freezing rain, no shelter for the next connection. They wouldn't be along for another half an hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
And these things have emotional impact. And when you touch somebody's emotions, then, in effect, you're motivating them to move or act in a way that's going to support your cause or buy your service or buy your product.
It's interesting you mentioned about cameras and stuff. Now that we have other parts of the country, they're now dealing with closed circuit television, or known as CCTV, throughout the world. I know that many, like, special Vancouver events, like the fireworks and the other facilities that we had, like the Olympics and stuff, try to introduce kind of like CCTV. Are they going to be putting those in Vancouver, well, certain time, other times when there are, like, non-events or around the city? Or are they going to insert them more? Or?
Who's they?
I mean, the city of Vancouver and stuff.
Ooh. I think you're talking about a bigger dynamic. I mean, mm-hmm. CCTV is an obsolete technology.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of having a static content picker-upper and being able – because I think what we all know is editing, the ability to understand what you're seeing – and pull out the important information and package it in a way that people can hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. So CCTV, getting information that way, how do you ever understand the vast amount of content that's being brought in? You have to review all that. Whereas if you have a trained crew, you have trained storytellers, they're already, by the way that they shoot the picture, by the way that they decide to interact with the crowd, are already telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two dynamics. Content is everywhere, and understanding how to manage that content in an effective fashion. You know, information wants to be free. It's everywhere, and it moves around, and it's easy to get. Expertise costs money.
Mm. Are there any current trends in the response to video versus printed material?
Oh, absolutely. You know, certain market research has been done that 59% of people would prefer watching a video mm-hmm. compared to reading a lengthy text or explaining a lot of points in the written format. Video content, in fact, is shared on an average of 375% more times than text or email. So when people see a video, they're more motivated. Oh, you got to see this.
Yeah.
And they'll pass it on.
And they'll pass it along.
And they'll pass it along. And then, therefore, of course, the ripple effect is extraordinary. And this is the power that an effective video that's put together with a meaningful message can be for organizations that are trying to promote a cause.
Mm-hmm.
Emails with video links actually get 300% higher click-through rate than those without. So it's the whole idea is that people like to see things. They want to incorporate, you know, that visual experience mm-hmm. along with getting the message that's intended to be communicated.
I'm assuming it's almost the same thing with the general election that is coming up, or for that matter.
In which way?
The federal election.
How do you mean?
The 19th, where whereas one person was talking, I think it was one person was talking about Israel and stuff that was from the liberal riding ship, and they probably had their friends share that kind of news mm-hmm. and passed along, and then of course other people did pass along on, you know,
viral marketing is a critical component of promoting. If you get something that goes viral, mm-hmm. it's phenomenally powerful.
Is that what makes video more effective than other forms of promoting? Is that
absolutely? Absolutely.
Clippability. It's really, I think, really important when you're shooting current events that you keep in mind that people are going to want to be able to chop up your product mm-hmm. and use it all sorts of ways. And that should be encouraged. So why not create product that's clippable?
Yeah. Well, we just did that here. Mm-hmm. We took your youth vote video. And we just played the audio.
Yeah.
And it still is effective. It still talks to, mm-hmm. why aren't you going to go vote?
Exactly. And this is why once you produce a video, it can then be pulled up and reused over and over again as situations arise that match that particular video message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're also working really hard on creating impact. I like to create stuff that you can show in a bar or a pub,
right?
Loud, and you are only going to have 15 seconds. You got to be able to pull your mobile out, turn it on, and say, "Look at this! Yeah. You got 15 seconds. If you haven't got that person interested, you're not going to get them."
No.
So, over your beer, pull out your mobile. You got to look at this. And
do you have a success story over that one where you actually got a client that way? I was in the room with you and you were doing a talk.
We shot the youth vote video with the intent of being able to pull it out over a bar table mm-hmm. and say, look what we've done. Literally, the very next week after we shot that video, I did that. And the person said, could you do that for me? So we went on to shoot the Sensible BC video based on, putting our theories into action.
Yeah.
So right now I know that you are doing some work with Sensible BC, and Sensible BC is also looking to do some sort of a movie, is it?
Well, no, not exactly. In the past, we have done, videos for Sensible BC. We're strong supporters. I'm personally very much concerned about the fact that individuals that are on the street and getting drugs and so forth are potentially getting things that aren't regulated, aren't controlled. They don't know what they're getting. It's my own personal story with a younger sister who, in fact, got into serious trouble because she was given marijuana laced with all sorts of chemicals that ended up causing serious mental problems. So for my whole life since university when this happened to me, I've been very much interested in promoting the issue that these substances need to be controlled. And, mm-hmm. of course, that's part of the message that Sensible BC is involved in to ensure that these drugs are used appropriately in terms of for medical marijuana, and that's certainly another whole area that needs to be promoted.
Yeah.
So that's been our work with Sensible BC. For the most part, there is a potential we could be working with them in terms of getting some funding for another project that we have going, where it will be a full feature film, entertaining film with a message of educating people about the importance of how marijuana has been used for medical purposes. Mm-hmm. There's tremendous amounts of research done in Israel over many, many years in other countries and other doctors that have proven this. So there's an important need for that going well beyond just the, quote, recreational use of that
right.
drug.
Right. Well, I do the marijuana that was on the streets when we were much younger is not the same thing because of, like you said, the chemicals. I know that plant life sucks in whatever's in the water that it can get into, right? If you grow marijuana with certain chemicals in the water and you put it in the plant, when you grow the plant, it goes those chemicals go straight through the plant. Mm-hmm. And it's something that the street growers have realized. And I know that that's the really big difference between the medical product and the street product is they aren't going to put those adverse chemicals into it, making it two completely different plants.
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole point of the legalization and the need to ensure that people know what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And taking it out of the illegal realm and putting it into a legal, regulated realm.
Right.
Well, we're never going to eliminate the problem, completely, obviously. that will never happen, unfortunately. But nevertheless, it'll be a major step forward if that could be done.
The interesting part for me around this is that we got hired specifically because of our authenticity, our natural networks, and storytelling around that. So it's not because we do video. It's not because we're social organizers. It's because we are social organizers that tell stories. And I think that is... There's two dynamics that happen. It's really easy to pick up a camera, and it's really easy to put that on the internet. It's really hard to make that relevant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Yeah. So, in light of that, how effective is video and video service in promoting and pushing causes out there?
Well, it's extremely important. In fact, the research indicates that 64% of viewers are much more likely to either buy a product or a service or respond to your request, whatever it might be, after watching a video. Pages on the internet and websites with video have up to 80% higher conversion rate compared to pages without video.
Does that include YouTube?
No, that's not YouTube. I'm talking about a web page that an organization has up and people go to it. Mm-hmm. Just a natural, and probably from your own experience, you just have a natural tendency to flip over. Oh, there's a video here.
Right.
Oh, what's that all about?
Yeah.
I mean, just
yeah.
you can't stop yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a natural. Oh, well, what am I going to see? And yeah, there's all this text on the right and the left and above,
yes,
and below. But hey, I'm just going to go to that video. Maybe they'll just tell me in 30 seconds what I need to know.
And maybe just do a link of it for that.
Exactly.
Matter.
And then that's the kind of thing, oh, that's really good. Oh, I'll just patch it over or email it over to my friend. And that's where the elements of viral marketing come into play so effectively.
And it's a possibility of a temptation, too, for that matter.
That's right. And if people enjoy what you put on video and they get some sort of education or they realize that it's entertaining, and that's an important component, of course. The more you introduce humor and the more you introduce, other aspects instead of just, oh, the facts are this, then you actually have an increase in the intent to participate,
mm-hmm,
either by buying your product or, buying your service or motivating you to participate in the rally that's coming up, mm-hmm, next week. By a factor of almost 100%. So there's statistical data that's been captured that reflects the critical power of video production and incorporating it into your marketing strategy.
Oh, interesting. On that note, we're going to have to take a break. No offense on that, but we got to take a break for another 40 minutes, every 20 minutes here in front of there. And of course, you are listening to the Community Living Show. My name is Kelly, and along with me is Michael. We will be back in just a moment.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is back on Tuesday, October 6th. Meet face-to-face with top universities from around the world and start planning to travel. Learn about degrees in law, medicine, health sciences, arts, technology, pharmacy, business, hotel management, and much more. Check out our travel zone for volunteering, language programs, adventure travel, and work abroad. For more info, visit studyandgoabroad.com. Free admission.
Times' Chris Horrific.
He always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
And we are back on the Community Living Show. I'm Kelly. This is Michael. This is the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. And our full hour show, CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about Sparks, and it was very interesting about the videos and promoting stuff. That was very interesting. Michael, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I guess there's something like you said, it is very compelling about video, and especially a well-done video where if you just have a static stream, like you were saying, versus something has been edited where you can put in more message. You can layer a message on top of a message in video, right? So how do you guys work that out?
I think it's really important to know who you are when you're telling a story. I think authenticity. Why would anybody listen to Jack and Henry and Sparks? Why? What? Why would people bother to subscribe or to follow? Mm-hmm. And it's because we're being very careful about who we work with. We like to project our values by choosing who our partners are, who our allies are. And I think that now after, for me, 3 years, and for Sparks over a year of inserting itself into the local network, that people know we're on their side. We don't get questioned anymore when we show up with a camera and a microphone. People go, oh, yeah, that's Sparks. Mm. That's Jack and Henry and the crew. And so having that authenticity where people know that you do have values, that you're not just a shill, that you're projecting the values of the organization that invited you, that you're projecting the values of 70% of the population, I think, mm-hmm. and helping to get that into the world. So I think that's really important because, as I said, I didn't know anybody when I came to Vancouver 3 years ago. And I think that having a consistent output of social change-oriented video and I had to make some decisions. When I first got started, the organization that I was working with had aspirations to be a national organization, but really didn't have any natural networks to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so when Sparks got started...
How long did Sparks got started?
It's just over a year now.
Over a year now?
Yep.
I realized that you have to make change, or we realized you have to make change where you are. And so I'm in this really nice situation right now, or we are, but I'll speak for myself. I generally know someone at whatever event I show up at, that I'm not a stranger.
Right.
And that is... by good social media that's connected to good content that people value. And it creates power for everybody.
Yeah.
We also, to be more specific in response to your question, Michael, when we work with an individual, we, of course, ask them to identify what it is that they want to say, but very often we tend to work with them in terms of the script. Mm-hmm. To help them beef it up in terms of getting it more exciting or getting it to be more specific in content. And people have actually come back and said, you know, we really appreciate that additional input. You've helped me present myself and my organization even more effectively. And then coupled with that, we have some very talented editing people that can really put together the combination of the voice with the imagery in a way that, you know, people aren't even aware of it, but they can actually see, you know, at a very deep level what is actually being communicated by the words spoken by the person. Mm-hmm. In the video, so there's really, you know, an artistic and creative element going into the videos. It's not just simply showing up recorded and then blasted out there. There's mm-hmm. there's good quality editing going on also, which helps to get the message across more effectively.
Right.
Yeah.
Examples of what we've done are certainly on our website, sparks.ca, and under the category, the tab of our works. So if people are interested in seeing that, they can, you know, certainly turn to that source.
So is that the best way to find you guys?
Certainly that way, as well as we'll be happy to provide phone numbers and email addresses. But, yeah, that's certainly.
That's probably the most public way.
Yeah. Henry@sparks.ca is my email address.
Okay. So you just heard that. And think if you want to get your story told and you want it to be meaningful and powerful, contact Jack and Henry. And Henry just gave you his email address. Give it again.
Yeah, it's henry@sparks.ca. That's spelled sparxc.ca.
Right. So, and that's the
website. I spelled it wrong. I'm guilty.
And that's the website.
X stands for extraordinary. That's what the X stands for.
Okay. So, and you're also on Facebook and Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What's the Twitter handle?
SPARXC.
Okay. Just to make sure. Sometimes you can't get them, right?
That's true.
So, all right. So, I guess we're pretty much to the end of it, aren't we, Kelly?
We got lots of minutes left. Yes, we got plenty.
Okay, so I'm gonna lay this one out there. Mm-hmm. So, who's the most exciting group that you actually work with? The most fun?
Oh, that's mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we do a lot of work with the cannabis industry, mm-hmm. and there's two populations that I think are the most extraordinary change agents. The pride folks and the cannabis folks are amazingly effective communicators because they are exciting and they try to meet people on a multi-sensory level. They bring fun to people. So knowing the history of the Pride movement and then living in a city where they've got rainbow sidewalks and the most conservative companies in the city have rainbow flags, and I go, well, this is effective change. So I watch that. And I am informed by that. So now we're working inside the medical cannabis community, and there's an aesthetic where beauty and sensuality and good food and good music, good clothes, and it's really expressed. It's this social movement that also understands that people have to eat off this. So there's things like May Moon, and she's got a group of very powerful, charismatic women called Weed Women. They have characters that are created to speak about the issues of medical cannabis. And, I mean, these are gorgeous, full-flavored women who can talk about anything. And they're in costume. So it's really easy to shoot good video, to have a great content when you're dealing with people who are behaving in a way that they know that they are doing stuff that needs to be captured.
Yeah, I know what you mean with that. Over the summer, I had the opportunity to work with an offshoot of Pride called the Foundation of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole goal is to help political refugees who are homosexual.
Right.
And you should have seen the show up when they did a what was called Strut. They walked a mile in stilettos along Sunset Beach. And you should have seen the costumes that showed up. It was like it just gives itself to great photographs. Their words were poignant and specific to how we can bring light to a situation. So you're right with Pride. They're very good at just bringing the happy to something, and even though there's something wrong, they still bring the happy to it so you can see how you can help make all the situation better. So.
And that relates to one of the key concepts behind Sparks, and that's the word alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been examples back in England, for example, with the gays supporting the coal miners. And then it reciprocated beautifully when, you know, they were protesting in the streets of London for changes in laws and regulations, and the miners showed up. So there's the whole concept of us with the critical need to align ourselves and create strong alliances. And when we do that, of course, we create much more powerful impact and motivate people to make changes, to make extraordinary changes that will have, you know, serious, impactful, positive benefits on society and the environment and all the other issues that we are very much concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really important. We chose to work with the medical cannabis community, partially because we believe there's going to be a win right away. So we have a young organization, Sparks, attached to, I think, the social climate is very much that the real change, the legalization and regulation of medical cannabis is about to happen. So
I think it needs to happen.
And also the eliminating is creating a, you know, a record, a criminal record on people's part by happening to have a little bit of marijuana on your person. And there's, you know, the impact that can have on a person's life is just long-reaching, of course.
Mm.
And just that component, you know, dealing with Sensible BC and their efforts to, you know, promote that cause is something that I think is important. I mean, let's recognize what the true impact is, you know, from a number of different points of view, legal and otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. The right wing. You have to say they know how to march. You know, they know how to sing the same tune. They have a very organized face. And why is that? Because there aren't very many of them. But they have a whole lot of money. So it's really easy to have this consolidated message. My impression, and I think that it's not unlike other people's impressions, is the progressive voice is quite fractured, that they don't play well together, that they air their laundry in public. And so every time, or quite often when you try to get something going, it fractures because of the internal dynamics that aren't managed. So the progressive movement can show up on any given day and have something impressive happen. But it's more difficult to have the consistent drip, drip, drip of message giving to infiltrate TV and radio and every little message on the gas pump or as you're driving down the street. So progressives, who really are, you know, 60-70% of the population, we haven't yet figured out how to grab control of media making, of storytelling, to make it the mainstream voice. And I think that one of the ways that you need to do that is to defer your particular message or to find how your message fits within the next group's message so that your efforts are amplified. It's not a fracturing of the progressive voice. It is a combining of the progressive voice. So we work really hard on that. I'm going to work really hard to get the cannabis people out onto the terminal in Maine on Fridays to bring all that joy and passion and attitude adjustment capacity to the crowd.
And just before we go, just get your information one more time for the audience again.
Okay. I can be reached at email Henry, it's H-E-N-R-Y, at Sparks, SPARXC.ca. And our website is sparks.ca.
And our phone number is 778-888-1773.
And my phone number is 604-442-6947.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And please tune us tomorrow for the other station, Co-op Radio, for our half-hour show. Do you have anything we have for tomorrow?
At this moment, I don't have anything lined up, but you never know.
You never know.
We do have the, because next week I will be in Whistler with the Impact Economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still trying to, get them together to see if we can air a couple clips before the event starts out there to try to get some more people out there, just the public knowing what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm also trying to do the interviews of both Richard McDonald and Gennaro Gil Sullivan on the schools, residential schools and stuff. So that will probably be airing close to the end of October, close around there. So,
cool. So that's going to be are we going to
have
a two-hour of programming for that?
No, it's just an hour special. Even though we have our hour show here, we're hoping to have the hour special on Co-op Radio for the fun drive, you know, for that
thing. Okay.
All right?
All right.
Thank you very much for tuning in.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And we will be back again next week on CITR and our NCRA stations. Have a great day.